Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for July 6th, 2012.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
What we have found are the precursors to the building blocks of life, if you wish.
This body was on its way to becoming a planet if it could just grow up and get bigger.
The thing that I'm trying to do with this mirror is give you the wide view, but not have as much distortion as a spherical mirror would on a bus or a truck.
This week, someone finally invents a blind spot-free side view mirror, and zebrafish meet their robotic overlords. Also, a new look at the asteroid Vesta. But first, Suzanne Bard reports on the recent discovery of organic carbon from Mars.
Organic carbon is essential for life on Earth. Now, a team of researchers have discovered organic carbon locked inside meteorites from Mars. Carnegie Institution astrobiologists Mihaela Glamoshlia and Andrew Steele say the organic carbon was created by chemical rather than biological processes.
What we have found are the precursors to the building blocks of life, if you wish. What we're doing here is setting a baseline, really, and saying, look, Mars does this chemistry non-biologically. Now, let's see if anything has changed that chemistry. And so it gives us a more robust way to actually detect life, if it's there.
The scientists used a specialized laser to identify the organic carbon within the meteorites.
One of the techniques we use is confocal Raman imaging spectroscopy, which shines a laser at the sample, and as the laser light interacts with the minerals, the frequency shifts just a little bit, and we can measure that shift. And the shift itself is like a fingerprint for the mineral or the substance that's there.
And with a powerful microscope, they viewed the tiny bits of carbon, no larger than one-tenth the width of a human hair, within slices of the rock.
Since prior to the Viking missions in the 1970s, finding reduced carbon on Mars has been a goal of Mars scientists, as this is the form of carbon that most life is made of. We always have speculated that it existed. Unfortunately, the Viking landers didn't find it, and it's never been definitively shown to be on Mars.
We are now able to say that there is carbon on Mars, and it is very exciting.
What happened to that carbon is what the following missions will tell us.
Thanks for that report, Suzanne. Next, what do planets look like before they become planets? Reporter Justin Warner says astronomers are looking right here in our own solar system to find out.
Vesta is the second largest body in the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, and it's long been suspected to be more than just a chunk of rock. Now, the NASA space probe Dawn has confirmed that it's actually an ancient protoplanet left over from the birth of the solar system. UCLA planetary physicist Christopher Russell explains that when the planet Jupiter formed, its strong gravitational field set off a game of cosmic billiards. Nearby protoplanets began to jostle and smash into each other.
They bumped together, knocked pieces off one another, and generally raised havoc in that particular region. But there was one body, and only one body that we know of this type and of this size, that survived all that. And that one last object would not have other similarly sized objects that might smash into it. The last man standing was Vesta.
Among other things, the new NASA data confirmed that Vesta has a layered, complex composition with a metallic core, like Earth and the other full-fledged terrestrial planets do.
One of the first things we do when we go to a new body is we measure its gravitational field, and then we deduce from that that those gravitational moments were consistent with a iron core of about 110 kilometers in radius, and that told us that this body was on its way to becoming a planet if it could just grow up and get bigger. But nature did not allow Vesta to grow up like the other bodies.
Vesta's surface also has similar properties to certain meteorites found on Earth.
For short, we call them the head meteorites. And the head meteorites have the same reflectance spectrum as the body. So if you shine sunlight on Vesta, it reflects back, but it absorbs certain lines from the solar spectrum. You do that with these meteorites, then they absorb the same lines, so the spectra look very much the same.
Other data from the probe also supported the link. Russell says that continuing to study Vesta will help scientists understand the dawn of the solar system over 4.5 billion years ago.
Thanks, Justin.
Well, we've put men on the moon and landed robots on Mars, but back on Earth, simply designing a wide-angle driver's side rearview mirror has remained a challenge. Now, Drexel University mathematician R. Andrew Hicks has created what may be the best version so far.
The thing that I'm trying to do with this mirror is give you the wide view, but not have as much distortion as a spherical mirror would on a bus or a truck. They let you see lots of stuff, but it's very distorted.
Hicks developed a mathematical algorithm to precisely control the angle of each ray of light bouncing off the mirror. He used it to create a smooth surface, which can be thought of as thousands of tiny mirror faces, each set at slightly different angles. The result is a 45-degree field of view, enough to eliminate the blind spot, that's almost perfectly proportional to reality, except smaller. Finally this week, the robot overlords have arrived. Fortunately, though, they mean us no harm. Suzanne has that story.
Animals have inspired the design of many robots, but they're usually created to serve human purposes. Mechanical engineer Mauricio Porfiri of the Polytechnic Institute of New York University has a different goal in mind. He's developing a robot zebrafish that would attract and guide other fish for their own protection.
So, for example, one can think of using robots that can steer away a group of fish from a place into the other if, for example, there is an ecological disaster.
Or it could lead the fish away from day-to-day hazards like turbine blades. Porfiri's team recently showed that live fish, alone or in groups, gravitate more toward the robotic fish than to an empty tank. Porfiri says since zebrafish tend to group together and behave as a unit, it's plausible that a few strategically placed robots could lead schools of them around. Eventually, his team plans to develop robots that interact with other species of fish and social animals.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, revisiting the historical practice of bloodletting and what the mutiny on the Bounty has to do with migraine headaches. Until then, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.